Well, turn with me, if you will, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And this evening, we're going to be looking at this passage from verse 43 down to verse 50. So let's just read that as we begin this evening. Mark, chapter 14 and verse 43. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. Okay, well, let's just bow our heads. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we begin this evening. Let's just bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank you again this night for the privilege to be able to open these scriptures and read your word. And we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit this night. We pray that he will come and move upon this written word and upon our hearts and minds and speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus once said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And Judas Iscariot is, I think, an example of someone who did just that. He was numbered with Jesus' 12 disciples, of course, and like the rest of them, referred to Jesus as Lord and Master and Teacher, even here. While carrying out his horrible act of treachery and betrayal, it says he came to Jesus and he kissed him and he said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," that is teacher. Not everyone who calls me Lord or Rabbi or teacher or master will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And what's that? Well, John 6:40 says, "This is the will of the Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." In the same chapter, verse 29, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who the Father sent." That is, in Jesus, the Son of God, that you believe in him who the Father sent. As the Apostle Paul put it to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Judas called him Rabbi here. And on other occasions, no doubt, he called him Lord. He went about with Jesus, it appears, for around 3 years. And he appeared, for all intents and purposes, to be just like the other disciples. As I think I said the other week, it appears no one suspected anything. No one suspected that Judas was anything other than he claimed to be, anything other than he appeared to be. Jesus knew, though. Jesus knew. Jesus knew all along. If you turn to John's Gospel and chapter 6, verses 70 and 71, Jesus here is speaking to the 12 disciples. And it says, Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus knew. Jesus knew all along. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Jesus knows what's in the heart of every man. Tells us that in John's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 25. Knows what's in the heart of every man. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows what's in my heart also. Tells us in Hebrews, of course, and chapter 4. It says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He knows all things. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. Nothing is hidden from him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That is to say, he who not only confesses with the mouth the Lord Jesus, but believes in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, Romans 10 verse 9. Well, maybe Judas did confess with the mouth, but in the end, his treachery and betrayal revealed there was no belief in his heart concerning Jesus being Lord. He did not believe in his heart that Jesus is Lord. What Judas did here wasn't just some temporary lapse or momentary failure on his part. It was a premeditated act of betrayal that he had thought through, planned, and executed together with those he knew were the enemies of Christ. Those who wanted nothing more than to see Jesus dead. It wasn't a spur of the moment thing, this. It wasn't the result of some sudden, unexpected turn of events. Some situation that suddenly arose, that took him by surprise, and he fell into temptation. It was a carefully thought through plan in which Judas finally revealed whose side he really was on. You know, Moses once said, be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure your sins will find you out. And your sins will find you out. The same is true of anyone. The same is true of everyone. And what we must understand is that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the sinner every day. This is what it says in Psalm 7, verse 11. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, that is to say, if the sinner does not turn back, if he does not repent, he, God, will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. You know what? The only way to escape the wrath of God is to repent, to confess, and to turn away from our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only person, the only name ever given under heaven among men by whom we must be saved. Trust in him alone. That is the only way one can escape the wrath to come. That Judas did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, is evident by what he did. See, if you think about it, if he really believed that Jesus is Lord, well, he certainly wouldn't have betrayed him, would he? But let me say this too. If he'd really believed that Jesus is Lord, he would surely not have thought that he could come with a mob with clubs and swords and take Jesus by force. If he believed that Jesus is Lord. Why do I say that? Because you see, this phrase Lord, this term Lord, in this sense, as a title ascribed to Jesus, is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament Hebrew Yahweh or Jehovah. Lord in the New Testament, used in this way, is the New Testament equivalent of the Hebrew Yahweh. I wonder if you remember what Jesus said to certain Jews. It's in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus once said this to certain Jews. He said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, Jesus said. Now, if you've turned that up in your Bible, if you're reading that now, John chapter 8, verse 24, you will notice that the word he there in our English translations is in italics, meaning the word is supplied, to bring some clarity to the verse. But you see, it isn't in the original. The original says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So who is I am? Who's I am? Well, if you were to turn to Exodus chapter 3, you'll read there what we call the burning bush passage, where the Lord speaks to Moses out of this burning bush. And he calls Moses to go and speak to the children of Israel in Egypt, who were slaves in Egypt. And of course, Moses doesn't really want to go. And so he tries to come up with a number of reasons why God has got the wrong man. And anyway, in chapter 3, Moses, in the course of this conversation with the Lord, he says, well, what if they ask your name? Who shall I say sent me? And this is what the Lord says. This is God. This is the Lord speaking out of the bush. Exodus 3 verse 14. You shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. I am, has sent me to you. So, if Judas had really believed that Jesus is Lord, if he'd really believed that Jesus is I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, would he really have thought a large mob with swords and clubs could have taken him by force? I doubt it. Of course not. Well, quite obviously then, Judas did not believe that Jesus is Lord. Obviously, he viewed him as a teacher. Maybe he thought of Jesus as a potential great leader, but not as Lord, not in this true sense anyway. And yet, he'd been there when Jesus fed the 5,000. He'd been there when he healed the sick and raised the dead. He'd been there when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind and made them see. When he unstopped the ears of those who were deaf and caused them to hear. He'd been there when Jesus calmed the storm. He'd seen Jesus cast demons out with a word. He'd seen him cleanse the lepers and make the lame to walk. Judas had seen him do the works that no other man ever did. It appears then that seeing is not believing after all. You see, some people say seeing is believing. If I could see Jesus, if I could see him work a miracle, well, I'd believe then. Seeing is believing. Well, Judas saw it all. But still, he did not believe that Jesus is Lord. You know, earlier this same evening, during what we call the Last Supper, Jesus had said this in the middle of the supper. He said, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And that, you see, is a statement that makes no sense at all if there is no afterlife. Let me read it again. Words of Jesus. He said, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. It makes no sense if there is no afterlife, if there is no judgment to face, no heaven to be gained, no hell to be feared. Because when you're dead and that's it. But that isn't it. According to Jesus, death is not the end, according to Jesus. In fact, according to the teaching of the entire Bible, death is not the end. As it says in Hebrews 9 verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment. And according to Revelation chapter 20, in fact, let's just read that. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 to 15 speaks of what we call the great white throne judgment. Let me just read those verses. Revelation 20 verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, it says. Anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And that is all who do not come to repentance and faith in Christ. Woe to that man, Jesus said, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Woe to all who will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Woe to all who refuse to believe the truth because they take pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9 to 12. Okay, so believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Bible says. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, said the Apostle Peter, Acts 3 verse 19. Repent and be converted, Peter said, that your sins may be blotted out. And he should know. He should know because that is what Jesus had done for him. Blotted out his sins so that there was no trace of them to be seen. Okay, so in closing, let me give you an example of that. Let me give you an example of that. See, coming to our passage in Mark chapter 14, if you look at verse 47, it says, one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, it doesn't say it here, but that was actually Peter. It was Peter. According to John chapter 18 verse 10, it was Peter who drew a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Actually, it's a good job Peter wasn't a better swordsman. 3 inches to the right, he'd have sliced the bloke's head in half. Still, he did a bit of damage all the same. He took the bloke's ear off. And it turns out the man's name was Malchus, and he was the high priest's servant. Okay, but what happened next? Well, it doesn't tell us in Mark's Gospel. In fact, it doesn't tell us in Matthew or John either. But Luke's Gospel does. So if we turn to Luke chapter 22, if I just read verses 50 and 51, it says this. It says, and one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, whether he picked up the severed ear and stuck it back on, or whether he just touched the side of the man's head and the man received a new ear, I don't know. All we know is he healed this man's ear. And it was as good as new. So there was no trace, no evidence that the crime had ever been committed. Can you see? Jesus covered Peter's sin in that sense. Now think about it. Had Jesus not done so, and Malchus had decided to press charges, I put it to you, Peter would not have had a leg to stand on. See, there were enough witnesses here who saw him do it. His fingerprints were all over the sword, the weapon that had been used and probably discarded. His fingerprints were all over it. The victim of his crime was minus one ear. And Peter, it could be shown, had motive, means and opportunity. In fact, he was guilty. And if he were to plead not guilty, he would only be adding more sin to the sin that he'd already committed. But you see, in the event, Jesus had healed the man's ear. And in so doing, he covered Peter's sin so that there was no case to answer. Can you see? See, think about it. Because Jesus had covered Peter's sin, Malchus, his accuser, really had nothing to say. And if he had gone to law, if he'd gone before the magistrate or gone before the judge and said, I would like to press charges against one Simon Bar-Jonah of Galilee. If he'd have said, I want to press charges against that man, and the judge said, well, what is his crime? And Malchus said, he cut off my ear. He cut off my ear, Your Honour. Cut it clean off. Then the judge would just simply have to look. And the judge would say, unless I be mistaken, both your ears are still intact. You still have one ear on both sides of your face. Case dismissed. You're wasting my time, is what the judge would have said. You see, Jesus had covered Peter's sin, and so the accuser was silenced. And see, in closing, that is exactly what Jesus has done, does do, for all those who repent, who confess the sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just turn, in closing, to 1 John, the first epistle of John, and chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 5 down to verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What a wonderful passage that is. It tells us, first of all, that if we say that we have no sin, or if we say that we have not sinned, then not only are we deceiving ourselves, we're actually saying God is a liar. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So if I say that I've not sinned, I've never sinned, I'm not a sinner, I'm simply calling God a liar and I'm deceiving myself. And if I remain in that position, then I remain in my sins and there is no hope for me in that sense, if I remain in that position. But this passage says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And in fact, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And this is Peter, you see. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed him from all unrighteousness so that he was clean in the sight of God. Now it goes on to say, If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What is that all about? Well, we have an advocate with the Father, you see. An advocate, that is one who speaks in our defence. And as I've often pointed out, it's like this, friends. See, sometimes even as Christians, we slip up and we fail. And sometimes we fall into sin. And you know, the devil, one of his titles, one of his names is he's the accuser of the brethren. And he comes along and he points out our sins and he accuses us. Even before the throne of God, he accuses us of our sins. But when he does, you know, Jesus steps forward. Jesus, who speaks in our defence, he steps forward. And he says, yes, but I shed my blood for that one. I shed my blood for that one. And the blood of Jesus, you see, covers. It covers all of our sins. It cleanses us from all of our sins. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And God, the righteous judge, says, case dismissed. Case dismissed. Well, is that just? Is that righteous? Absolutely it is. Why do I say that? Because when Jesus died on that cross, he died to pay the penalty for all of our sins, all the sins of everyone who repents and trusts Christ. He paid for it all. And that's why Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished. Debt cancelled out. The price, the penalty, paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus shed in death for us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. As far as Peter is concerned, in slicing that man's ear off, well, he sinned. But Jesus covered his sin, so there was no case to answer. And friends, if we repent and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of judgment, there is no case to answer because Christ has paid the penalty for all of our sins. Sadly, though, those who refuse to repent, those who refuse to believe the gospel, like Judas, well, woe to them. It will be better for them if they'd never been born. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. Well, let's just close with prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for the Gentile. In other words, for anyone who believes. And I thank you that anyone who comes to Christ, who truly comes in faith to Christ, he will in no wise cast out, but raise it up at the last day. Father, I pray for each and every person who watches or listens to this recording. I pray that, Lord God, if we're not already in the faith, if we're not already saved, that, Lord, you would show us that before you, before a righteous judge, we are all of us sinners. And the only way to have our sins cleansed, the only way to receive your forgiveness and your pardon, is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will grant repentance and faith. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.